You're listening to Crypto at the Ferrum Roundtable, made for the people who want to make the most out of their crypto journey, with the mission of breaking down barriers to mass adoption of blockchain technology. This podcast is brought to you by the folks at Ferrum Network. All information in this podcast is provided for educational, informational, and entertainment purposes only, without any express or implied warranty of any kind, including warranties of accuracy, completeness, or fitness for any particular purpose. The information contained in or provided in this podcast is not intended to be and does not constitute financial advice, investment advice, trading advice, or any other advice.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Crypto Summer 2023 discussion panel. Here today with me, we've got Michael from QuantsAI. Hey Michael.
Hello, how are you doing?
Hey, perfect. Gabby from ZK Makers.
Hi everyone.
Hey, hey. And G from Yee Network. Hey.
Hey guys.
Awesome. Guys, I'm super excited that all of you actually are here. Again, this is going to have, we're going to have a great kind of roundup of expertise and insights from all of you guys, because you're from completely different projects. I think it's going to be insane. We're going to be discussing the future of Web3, the trends, hopefully optimistic kind of opinions and vision for the next few months and the next kind of 1 to 2 years, when the bull market is going to hit us, what's going to happen when the bull market is going to hit us, and a lot of other different topics. But before we go into dive in, I'd love you guys to introduce yourself and to tell us a little bit more about your project. So Michael, if you want to go first.
Of course, thank you very much for the word, Tom. Of course, it's a pleasure to be on a panel with such innovative founders within the space as always. Just so I provide you a quick background and synopsis about sort of my Web3 endeavors up to this point and how they have sort of led me to start QuantsAI is because I was in the venture capital space and crypto ever since sort of late 2016. That's where I got really introduced to the, I would say, industry with the advance of DLT, distributed ledger technologies, and essentially what they had encompassed as a technology in general and sort of the benefits that they could provide to the larger market. During my time essentially in dealing with Web3 startups with within the ecosystem, helping them with their marketing campaigns, go-to-market strategies, and etc., I got really sort of interested in the Polkadot ecosystem. So I started to angel invest sort of a lot more, which has led me to sort of start Katana Venture Capital. And with Katana Venture Capital, we have done 33 portfolio investments, forward-looking ones into very innovative DeFi projects, into very innovative GameFi, and also move-to-earn projects. And now we are sort of actively deploying capital into AI as well. However, just to sort of transition that experience, which I sort of accrued with my venture capital background into QuantsAI, is that QuantsAI is a quantitative trading platform, which is tokenizing hedge fund driven trading strategies. So we are an investment enabled marketplace, which is allowing retail investors and even institutional investors to invest into hedge fund driven strategies. Because until this moment, it hasn't really been possible or attainable for a retail investor or even in some institutional investors to actually get hold and grasp of these quant strategies. And we believe in democratizing the market, enabling everybody to have the same and equal investment opportunities. And that's our main core mission at Quants and what we are developing. So far, our AUM is just north of 52 million, as we have sort of amassed it in the past 2.5 years since we have been operating on the live markets with our institutional investors. And now, basically, as we are developing the sort of underlying regulatory framework with Quants, we'll be deploying that for the retail investors.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Michael. Gabby from ZK Makers.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Tom, for having us here. It's my second panel, and thank you very much for your interest in my opinions. So basically, I work in ZK Makers. I'm head BD and also co-founder. ZK Makers is a decentralized market making platform. It allows any project or any exchange to create smart contracts and place rewards in exchange for trading metrics. So basically, it allows the rewarding for any trader, any retail sophisticated trader that is generating currently a volume and liquidity into order books, and nobody's rewarding them. However, projects and exchanges spend a lot of money in centralized market making. What we want to do with ZK Makers is create a marketplace where any project and any exchange can directly engage with retail traders by rewarding them for the efforts that they are taking by trading their token. And we allow that, we allow this this marketplace with Zero Knowledge Technology, MPC, and also the and also the cryptography that well, that we do. Basically, what we do is create a bridge, a data bridge between centralized exchanges and Web3, allowing to any trader to prove their trading activity into their Web3 wallet. Currently, nobody is able to do that in a trustless manner. So we are the first project that is creating this data bridge, and it will create a lot of transparency for centralized exchanges, but also will allow the creation of different applications that we are building on top of that technology. And the first one, as I said, is a marketplace for decentralized market making.
Fantastic, Gabby. Thank you. And G from Yee Network.
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to thank Ferrum Network for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be here with you guys today. So I'm the founder and CEO of Yee Network, which is a decentralized venture capital and venture studio. Our main focus is to help startups at early stage to raise funding through both retail investors, angels, and VCs. So we have been building our network for several years, and we try to make the best investment decisions and find the best teams and founders that can develop the next big things in Web3. Besides fundraising, we also support the projects in different aspects. The one that we actually focus the most is about generating revenue. I think it's an aspect which has been highly overlooked by many projects. That don't find sustainable revenue streams and often leave off the funds which they raised. So that's one of our main focus, but we also do stuff related to branding, to marketing, design. Also, we are opening soon an educational platform for Web2 users that are looking into Web3. So yeah, that's like a very brief about Yee Network. About some numbers, what I can say is that this year we've had one of the highest ROIs in terms of the projects that we launched. It's currently more than 1,000%. So it's also one of the highest within the market.
Okay, well, that's really exciting. I'm not going to lie. That's really cool. Okay, G, thank you so much. So guys, you are here listening to us because of the Crypto Summer 2023 edition, which is basically probably the most valuable crypto campaign this summer out there. You can get a chance to win up to $20,000 worth of rewards thanks to guys and projects like Quants AI, like ZK Makers, like Yee Network, and 17 other ones that are participating in the campaign. The whole idea for this is for the projects to come together, to provide value, educational content, financial rewards as well, to provide you with information about their projects, their technology. And it's all about doing some really cool tasks, both on-chain and off-chain. So guys, go into our description, click on the link to participate, because you literally have, I think, 3-4 days left until the campaigns, the crypto summer actually ends with the end of the summer. We're going to finalize the campaigns and the winners. There's going to be 200 people winning the rewards. So there's plenty of things to do. Make sure to go and check it out, and make sure to go and check out the links to Telegram, Discord, and the socials from all the projects participating here with us today. Okay, guys, let's dive in. Let's get some juice out. So Web3, it's like a myth. It's a thing, it's happening, but a lot of people are still trying to figure out what it really is. We've been in this space for a while now, maybe not for too long, but for a few years at least. And we've already seen some trends, right? Like every single year, basically, there's something new that pops up. And usually those things stay in, they evolve. Like we had DeFi Summer, right? We've had the NFT craze. There's been so many things going on. What trends are you observing in Web3 right now that could potentially lead to much bigger adoption? And we can start, sorry, because I always forget about this. We can start with Gabby from ZK Makers.
Hi. Yeah, so basically I identify three main trends. I would say artificial intelligence is the first one. And currently I would say is the one that is taking every is getting the most attention from. Also, zero knowledge, which has already been for a few months already. We're seeing a revolution from the projects that were starting in the last bull market. We're seeing an evolution. We're seeing more projects. We're seeing more chains. And of course, the tech behind so promising for privacy and security that that it will keep continue evolving and more use cases will be created. And I would say the last one for me, it's interoperability between chains. This is a big topic. It's been in the market for quite a long time already. And it's a solution that it needs to be and the projects that are working on it are creating great solutions, but I believe and I would say that no one is getting in front of the others. There are a few, of course, that have a lot of financial support behind. However, I would say that no one of them has delivered this solution yet that will allow full interoperability between chains. So these three for me are the main trends that we're going to see this next bull market, and the ones that everybody is betting, and we have here two projects that are investing money, and I'm sure that they will have their view on that.
Of course, Gabby, thank you. And G, what's your take on this?
Well, I agree that these are, you know, three big trends that we see currently in the market. But I disagree in the way that I don't think these trends really promote adoption of Web3. At least, you know, I haven't seen. I work closely with a few AI projects, and as far as I can see, most of the users, so more than 90%, are already existing users from Web3. I wouldn't say that there are so many projects and narratives and trends that are really focused in promoting shifting users from Web2 to Web3. I think in Web3, we are just most of the founders are more focused in providing, you know, more infrastructure for what we already have, you know, like interoperability and so on and other things. But when we speak really about adoption, which was your main question, I think maybe the narrative comes more from maybe social networks. It could even be gaming. So educational platforms, this is the place where I think we need to get those users from Web2. I can say it's very challenging. And there was so far only two projects that I have seen that brought a huge crowd of people from Web2. First one was Axie Infinity. Second was Steppen. So I was surprised because people that I know for many years who've never had any interest in crypto, they were using one of those platforms. So that's when I really saw that those kind of projects really had an impact when it comes to the adoption of the actual technology. Because, you know, once you get familiar with such platform, it's much easier to dive deeper into DeFi and learn more and, you know, register in some exchange. This is my take. I would say that in general, I don't see so many successful initiatives to onboard Web2 users.
Okay, that's really interesting. Thank you. And Michael?
When it essentially comes to the trend which I have observed within the crypto space right now is, of course, AI is the sort of the biggest trend which is occurring at this very moment. But when I sort of dive a little bit deeper into the actual underlying technologies of Web3, I think right now what I'm definitely seeing in the landscape of Web3 is that a lot more projects are actually starting to deploy and develop actual sort of revenue-backed token models. So during the last bull market, especially from this sort of a narrative, there has been an emphasis on the token economy and the sort of entire flow of the token within the ecosystem. However, when it came to the value accrual of the token, I think that's a part which has been largely overlooked. And now in this sort of a next cycle, I'm definitely seeing a lot more improvements when it comes to that. Also with Quants, how we are sort of incorporating the token to be a central and integral part, not just for the governance votes, but also for the actual function of the entire ecosystem. So when it comes to the sort of the mass adoption, what we are doing at Quants is we are actually applying for a full compliance under Singapore with MAS, Monetary Society of Singapore, to actually classify us as a collective investment scheme. And essentially what that enables us to do is also curate capital from Web2 users through very convenient methods such as in-app Apple Pay payments or essentially SEPA bank transfers or IBAN transfers as well. So we are looking at it from both directions, because as we grow the AUM of the Quants ecosystem and as we essentially increase the TVL of our platform, that is going to be having a direct impact on the, sort of the performance and the underlying mechanics of our token as well. So it is really providing the bridge for the users from a Web2 world to be able to participate in quantitative trading strategies within the Web3 world. And of course, as G has mentioned, there is also a very large sort of a amount or percentage of people present in the Web3 world which are already investing into these startups. So combining the two, I think that's what's going to be spawning the next sort of a bull market.
I think that makes sense. I personally think that each one of you guys have really strong points here. I also wanted to, because I remember you said about the projects that somehow utilized the current base, like when it happened for Stepn, for Axie Infinity, the technologies, and everything was basically right on point. The branding, the kind of marketing campaigns to acquire the users as well, and the simplicity to actually do that, because they actually made it simple. What Gabby said, and I also think that he has a really good point, is that probably the most important aspects of the technology that all of us are building in Web3, with interoperability, with AI, with zero knowledge as well. Like, I think that once we all figure out, and we all going to be fully 100% ready to go out for the mass market, it's going to happen. Because with, let's say, you know, here at Ferrum, we work towards making sure that the future is going to be interoperable, right? That whatever you want to do on whenever, like whichever network, you'd be able to do it without trying to move everything across the networks. And like, it's so much hassle, right? And there's going to be so much more technology emerging soon as well, things that we can't even think about right now, probably in like next 6 months, or like 12 months or 24 months. And it's just going to be more and more and more, more networks, more chains. So I think there's a lot of things, there's a lot of room. The cake's massive for all the projects really to have their slice. But because there's so many different opinions here, I actually want to dive into another question and basically discuss a little bit and talk a little bit about the challenges that we're actually facing right now that prevents Web3 and even different segments within Web3 from reaching that kind of mass adoption level. Not just mass adoption, just higher adoption level, right? What do you think they are? What do you think is blocking us right now? I can go first and I can just tell you from my standpoint, UX UI. I think it's just way too difficult for a standard internet user, especially that's not like a millennial or like Gen Z, right? Someone who's much older, I think it's still really difficult to use dApps, even if they look better. Just the whole process is just so complicated. That's just my opinion. We can start going back and forth. Michael, do you want to go first?
Indeed. I would say one of the bottlenecks which we are seeing within the industry present right now is sort of the complexities of the regulation within a very fragmented world, because I think there is power in unity. However, with each individual country having their own regulations, crypto taxation rules, and essentially a very hard to understand landscape, I think that is providing a barrier to entry for traditional Web2 users and investors potentially. If there was sort of a uniform structure for the crypto taxation, perhaps for the entire way in which the ecosystem works, I think that will sort of provide much more clarity and definitely provide a paved road for mass adoption in the long run. Because I'm a very big advocate of actually pro-regulation. I believe, as I said, Ben mentioned before on this on a previous podcast with Ferrum, is that I'm a very big advocate of regulation, and I believe that it is paving the path for mass adoption in the future. So I think when we are really sort of adhering to the regulatory landscape, even while sticking to the DeFi elements, I think that's what's going to be sort of shaping the pathway forward.
Okay, thank you. G?
Yeah, actually, I see too many barriers to enter Web3. I used to work 4 years for a fiat on-ramp company. So I was leading this company and basically onboarding Web2 people into Web3 with Visa and MasterCard. That was the main business. And what I can say is that we founders in crypto really overestimate the knowledge of users, that even, you know, very simple transaction, just by credit cards. A lot of users have lots of difficulties to do it, especially when there is a KYC. And that's like, I mean, it's a pretty big barrier first to just get into crypto, right? To convert your dollars or euros into some stable coin or Bitcoin or whatever. That's the first barrier. Second, we make the assumption that everyone is an investor, but there are users who are not investors. They may be interested about blockchain, but it doesn't necessarily mean they are interested to invest in crypto. And there is kind of like this expectation that you can make a lot of money and there is a lot of scams. And everything is very fast, and of course users get scared, and there is just not like a clear understanding from the user side. They understand that there is some underlying technology, maybe there is some potential, but I think there is still it's still very foggy for them and scary, and those are issues that, frankly speaking, I see Binance is doing a lot of stuff to motivate Web2 people, you know, doing lots of educational sections on their website where you can earn free crypto. They do lots of events. They sponsor also different educational platforms. They also recently made a partnership with Ronaldo, which I think is very smart, because he's the most followed person on Instagram, and he can basically has the power to bring more people into Web3. And I would say that Binance has a pretty intuitive platform if you check Binance Academy or something. So I think, you know, this is the kind of stuff that we need to first just get users onboarded. But it's just what I see also is that most of the products are financial products, right? It's potential investments. But let's say you don't really have much money to invest, or you just have your investment in some I don't know, equity or real estate, it doesn't matter. But you may be interested to use it, I don't know, to make transactions. I think for me, why I got into crypto was exactly for the purpose of making transactions. I just thought it's amazing that I can send money to anybody from any country in seconds without any intermediaries, and the person in the other side of the planet can receive this money instantly with almost zero fees. So this was like, I believed in the technology back in 2016, 2017, mainly because of this. I just saw really the potential. And I think things changed, and it's just all about investing. And just not everybody is about investing. So we need more products. That's why I was mentioning before that, like social networks, some sort of games, or, you know, something that already exists in Web 2, but somehow can be also interesting in Web 3. I would say it would be the easiest way to onboard new users.
Thank you so much. And Gabby?
Yeah, well, I was going to answer first regulatory, but I believe that Michel has already have had a good point on that. Also, I wanted to talk about the usability of the projects, but also G has had a good point on that. But I would say that another option, that another barrier that we have, is also hacking, vulnerabilities, and scams. All of that is giving a lot of bad press to the ecosystem. One thing that you said, that we need more projects, social projects, and real or more mass Web 2 directed. I believe that there is a lot of people building right now, and this and there are many good projects that are currently under development right now. And those, most of those projects also have applications on the Web 2 side. So, of course, we need to bring all those users, like, I wouldn't say with a bait, but let's say with something catchy, so they can learn with many of the things that he already said, academies and centralized exchanges providing a lot of information. We need to catch projects and products, but we also need to keep building an ecosystem that has more applications and brings Web 2 into Web 3, and not only on the mass adoption, but also on the application side for companies, for the financial system, in logistics, other big sectors that will somehow embrace Web 3 in the future. By if we continue developing and we continue finding new business models that attract them and that also gives them high value.
Yeah, I mean, you guys, you all have really good points. So I actually want to go straight to another question here, because there's already a few things that we've discussed, right? And Web3 and the solutions that all of our projects and all the projects outside of this podcast, this panel discussion, everyone has some form of well-developed solution pretty much ready. And when we're talking about DeFi, when we talk about financial systems, when we talk about digital identities, even, you know, retail products like Stepin, right? Like the digitalization and adding the kind of Web3 and the centralized aspect to things like smartwatch and like when you go and work out and things like that, like from basically from the big stuff, from the big things of changing the how banks should operate, two tiny, well, not tiny little things, but like the things that we could somehow live without, right? But they make somehow our lives much easier. Like I said, smartwatches and new systems that, like smartphones and things that we use on a daily basis. So the potential for Web3 is there for Web3 products, for Web3 systems to actually come and join our like daily lives all across the globe. So there's a potential for that. Now, at the moment, what we fight for is the decentralization. Now, do you think that, because we already spoke about, I think G at some point mentioned that, you know, for the mass adoption, let's say, something that's going to be mass, made for masses, like social networks. So at the moment, let's say the social networks, right? They're all Web2 kind of monopolists. We have Meta, we have, X, Twitter, whoever you call it. We have, you know, Instagram's part of Meta, LinkedIn. There's a few of the biggest players. Those guys already developing their Web3 solutions, and they're going to be accessing and they're going to be joining our space. Now, with all those funds that they have, with all the expertise, and definitely they don't want to have the decentralized aspect too big, because they live for collecting the data, right? What do you think is going to happen when those massive Web2 players from all of the industries, from all the markets, not just social networks, they will see the potential that Web3 has? Most of them already started developing their solutions. They have loads of funds, great expertise, great kind of manipulative marketing strategies that they've been testing out and working on for years to come. Definitely they have great branding strategies and great kind of user acquisition strategies as well. What do you think is going to happen? Is the decentralized aspect is going to somehow not fail, but will get lost in translation? Or do you think that they will need to adapt to the Web3 space and the users that currently drive the space forward? And we can start with G, I think was the last one. Last time, I can't remember, but G.
Yeah, sure. So, no, you know, like, to be honest, I have doubts that they will do something in the near future. First, because if you look at Meta, they actually changed their name to Meta because they wanted to make Metaverse. But then everyone saw what happened. Their plans basically were not completed due to several reasons. I believe there were reasons related to regulations, also to the actual quality of the, you know, technology that they were developing. X.com, I wouldn't also say that they will also do something in the near future. There were some statements from Elon Musk. As far as I remember, he mentioned something that he's not planning to do something. So, I mean, there were some ideas out there, but the only company which is not exactly a social network, is more like a messaging app, is Telegram. That I have seen them taking significant steps to incorporate Web3 into their app. So I'm not sure if you guys have tried, but they launched a wallet inside Telegram, so you can easily receive funds, send funds, trade, convert fiat to crypto and vice versa through the app. So you completely don't need to use any other app outside. You know, you don't need to go to exchange, you don't need to basically do anything. You can do everything inside Telegram, and it's pretty easy to use. They also have this Ton blockchain, which is the main blockchain for Telegram. And you know, Telegram is already one of the biggest messaging apps. So I think you know, this is something that people are not really, you know, talking about. I don't know why. When I saw it, you know, I was pretty shocked and impressed. And also, if we see, if we analyze a Ton blockchain, if I'm not mistaken, they are within the top 20 or top 15 layer one blockchains. And, you know, there hasn't really been any hype around Ton so much, but I really do see like Ton as a potential very large project, as it's directly associated with Telegram, and Telegram has you know, hundreds of millions of users. So this is very powerful, but you know, when it comes to other companies that are doing social networks in Web2, I have really serious doubts that they will do something, at least in the near future. Maybe later on they will find a way, but I think mostly also because of the regulations. You know, we see that the SEC is attacking everyone. Lots of governments are also closing the doors, and it seems that they either want, you know, to have more control, or just they don't want to promote these innovative initiatives, because, you know, it's obvious that if those big players start incorporating crypto and blockchain within their existing platforms, it could be also a big threat for governments, that people would very smoothly start shifting their fiat money to crypto. And I think in the end of the day, governments are not very interested that people stop using their money. So I think probably that's the main reason why it will be very challenging for them to achieve something in the near future.
Okay, cool. Thank you, Gabi.
Sorry, I was muted. Yeah, I completely agree with G. We have a regulation, many regulations that to take into account. Just for giving some examples, China and United States are completely different kind of regulations that they have for not only Web3, but also for IT companies and social media. We can see that the Chinese population have their own applications that are different from the Western countries. So, I would say that the opportunities that those social media platforms have in Web3 are limited, maybe because of mass adoption. That currently, they already have a huge market size that in Web3 is growing right now, and they have control over this market already. So what I see that could be brought to Web3's new models of social networks, of social applications that are built into Web3, and that can bring some adoption in there. However, as she says, I don't see the X or Meta or any other platform that is going to do anything in Web3 in the near future.
And Michael, thank you.
Well, very interesting concepts, both of you, as mentioned in your responses. To answer your question, Tom, I would say that there is definitely sort of like a race for the sort of the majority market share within the blockchains, and that's what I see happening right now. And especially with Meta, X, and sort of Telegram entering the space as well, all of them are using fragmented and different sort of blockchains. And I believe that, as I mentioned earlier, there's power in unity. So I think I'm seeing a lot of new L1s come out on the market. You know, it's basically there every single month there's a new layer one solution which is coming into the market, and it's developing something new on a premise, on a fork of a existing chain, and etc. And to be honest, I don't really feel that that this is the way forward. I feel that we already have the very strong fundamentals when it comes to security, interoperability, and speed on Ethereum, right? So if we sort of, and of course, there isn't going to be just one monopoly player when it comes to chains, right? That's why we have Polkadot. That's why we have all the other chains as well. However, when it comes to, I would say, the technological landscape, I see that, of course, it will benefit a lot from the entries from companies such as Meta, such as X, because they have one of the smartest people in the world to developing on their platforms and for their companies. So this is something that we are definitely looking forward to as an industry as a whole, because the more sort of bright minds that we can attract into the space, the better of a product that we are going to develop. And that's essentially what's going to lead to the mass adoption, because people really realize the type of technological landscape which is being developed in Web3, and they'll want to transition from traditional Web2 to Web3. So I would just build on G's point, what he mentioned with Telegram and the Tom blockchain. I think it's going to be definitely one of the sort of big transitions, because imagine if you could actually have a seed phrase to log into your Telegram account. And that's where I think it's going to be creating or applications which can really sort of work on this decentralized manner, that you are actually not reliant on having a code which you have to send to your phone, verify via email. But let's imagine that you actually just mint a new NFT, or let's say you create a new wallet on a decentralized application. You actually have to KYC on that application to, of course, have sort of a Web 2.5 and a Web 3 feel to it. So I think there's a lot of advancements which are going to be happening within the Web 3 world. And in the end, the simple answer to that question is that I think the industry will definitely benefit if we see the bigger players step in.
Cool, cool, cool. Brilliant. Thank you guys so much for this. Now, I've got one of my final questions. It's going to be a double question. And we're going to start with Michael. But obviously, very briefly, but where do you see the next 5 years for Web3? What's the main thing that you think that it's going to change? And also, the second part of the question, for anyone that really wants to enter this space, be it a developer, entrepreneur, a retail investor, someone who wants to start, like who wants to find a career within Web3, what would be your one piece of advice?
Definitely. To answer the first part of this question, where I see the Web3 market in the next 5 years horizon, I definitely think that after the advent of FTX last year in November, I think we are definitely going to see a lot more of a risk-averse investment behavior. I don't think people are going to be investing into meaningless sort of pump and dumps anymore, as I would refer to it. I think the market and the investor as a general, or the investor as a figure, have become much more sort of educated when it comes to the hazards within the crypto space. And I'm seeing a lot of these projects building very meaningful products with very legitimate themes. And that's definitely very prudent and of a very high potential for the space. So I definitely think the space is heading in the right direction with the sort of advancements that we are seeing from the technological contributions on that front. When it comes to starting a career in the Web3 space, I think it's important to realize that Web3, it is very much a industry, or it's very similar to Web2. I think that's there isn't a very big difference if you are a, let's say, a developer for Meta or a developer for a Web3 company, and just in comparison to the two sort of languages, of course. I would say that's the biggest sort of biggest difference there, right? However, when sort of Web2 employees want to transition into Web3 as a career path, I think it is very lucrative because of the ability to actually build something that has got a very tangible result in a very sort of a short period of time. Just because of the sort of a turnaround time in Web3, everything moves much quicker, right? So let's take a look at it in comparison to equity markets. In equity markets, you raise your Series A, Series B, or sorry, I mean pre-seed, seed, and etc. And that can last anywhere between 3 to 5 years. And it's actually not happening very often that you see a sort of a company go public and actually list the shares. However, if you compare that to the crypto space, what's happening here, companies are able to sort of raise raise all of their rounds in a period of 6 months, maybe 9 months, right? And then actually go to go live to market on top tier exchanges with their token and actually sort of behave like a public company from this perspective. So I think Web3 in this essence is moving at a rapid speed. Definitely you should be ready to work sort of, I would say, around the clock, not nonstop, because work-life balance is of course very important. However, it is a industry which is very demanding, especially due to the sort of a online, I would say, aspect of it, that even when you have your phone, even when it's on silent mode, you still have that feeling that, all right, I have the Telegram app, there's always something that I can take care of. So that's sort of the tips that I will give to newcomers to Web3.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Michael. Gabi? Oh, you're muted again.
So sorry. So the how I see the evolution of the market, and I see that there's a lot of projects that are now building. Many of them in infrastructure, which is so interesting, and they can add new layers of not only complexity to the system, but also new layers of privacy, new layers of security, new layers of revenue that will help not only the investment side, but also will help the ecosystem overall, mostly because of the on the infrastructure side. I believe that some of the previous things that I said that are the trends currently, AI, zero knowledge, interoperability, all these things will solve challenges that currently other projects need in order to generate new business models. Into the newcomers, I would say that this is the tips that I would say is that the learning side is the most important thing. It is a complex world, not only because on the technical side, but also on the financial side, and in blockchain itself, it has many layers that, in order to be in the ecosystem, it's important to learn, and it's important to be able to understand. And so, yeah, basically that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Gabi. Angie?
Yeah, so as for the first question, how do I see the markets in 5 years? To answer it, I will analyze how is the market in 5 years and use that as a tool to more or less understand how it will be. I remember 5 years ago, crypto was very, very, I would say, pretty unknown and pretty slow. Compared to now, you know, there are very few projects. I believe there was less than 1,000 coins, if I'm not mistaken. Now we have, I don't know, more than 50 or maybe even more, 100K. The prices were moving very slowly. And, you know, even if Bitcoin just moved like $50 in one day, that was already like a pretty interesting day. And it was extremely hard also to buy crypto. I remember I used to use local Bitcoins. And, you know, it was not easy at all, especially for a new user. It was pretty challenging to get into crypto. And most of the exchanges were kind of scammers. You couldn't trust anybody. And, I mean, it was really super wild. Super slow development. There was not really, I would say, any super high quality projects, platforms. There was no DeFi. It was mostly like peer-to-peer transactions or centralized exchange trading. And today, I mean, even though we are in a bear market or kind of beginning of a bull market and everything is slow, I can say it's 50 times more developed than before. That now you can do so many things. You can use actual blockchain. You can. There are so many apps that have been developed that you are using every day. You can. You know. You have also pretty good interfaces for like wallets and everything. I mean, it's everything is so much easier. You can feel there are so many people now that are, you know, using crypto, talking about it. It's not always negative. I remember before, every time someone talks about crypto, it's always negative. It's a scam. It's, I don't know, dark web stuff. So I think in 5 years, it will be another maybe 50 or 100x more developed than right now. And we will see real adoption by then that we already seeing, I would say, in a pretty good pace. There is much more adoption, but I think in 5 years it's going to be much more, and there's going to be much better infrastructure, much more different applications you can use. And in the end of the day, I think it will make people's lives much easier. I can just give a very small example. I was recently on vacation in Georgia, and I was in a very remote area in the mountains, and they didn't accept cards, and I didn't have so much local currency with me in cash. And, you know, I just thought for any tourist that goes there, you know, it will be so much easier if I could just pay everything in crypto, because crypto, it's like digital cash. So what for? Have, you know, to bring cash, convert in some office your cash, pay some huge fees at horrible rates, when you can just, you know, from one person to another, just make a transaction in seconds with no fees. You know, it's in global currency, it's adoption, it's technology, you know. I'm still surprised until today to see that we still use cash. You know, this cash has been used for, I don't know how many hundreds of years, if not thousands of years. You know, there were already coins, and until today we still use coins. You know, it's unbelievable that our world is so developed, but we still use paper money. So for me, I mean, I hope in 5 years we will use much less than today. And my advice for any new user coming to crypto. I mean, actually, I have a lot of advices, but I will try to give only one. Please make a pretty good research before you do something. Don't jump into some meme coins, because most likely you will just get rug pulled, or you will lose all your money. Also, don't put your life savings into some random coin. Just be careful. It's a pretty good technology. Try to understand the benefits of using this technology, and forget a bit about becoming a millionaire overnight. Just understand the technology and take it slowly. Don't go all in the first big thing that you see on the social networks or internet. Just take it easy. That's my advice.
Brilliant, thank you so much, G. And I literally wanted to say pretty much the same thing in terms of the doing your own research. Guys, always make sure to do that. And you can actually start doing it right now by clicking on the links for Quants AI, ZK Makers, and EA Network to go and check them out. Do your little research on those three projects right now, and I'm pretty sure you're going to be really surprised how great they are and what kind of great teams they have and they've been building. So go and do that, and then make sure to go and join Crypto Summer 2023 edition. All those projects actually supporting the Crypto Summer campaign, providing you the value, the rewards, and just making the whole space much a better place than it is right now. And that's the key, that's what we're here for. So guys, Michael from Quants AI, Gabby from ZK Makers, G from EA Network, thank you so much for joining me here today. I hope that people listening to us received some great value and some great insights from you guys. I did as well, and I'm looking at the clock right now, it's already been over 50 minutes, and we wanted to stick to like 30-40 minutes here, but it's just, I've got so much, like loads of different questions still, but we can't have them right now. But thank you so much. We definitely need to do this again. And if you've got any final thoughts, this is the time, guys.
Yeah, I would like to thank you for moderating our discussion and for the invitation. It was a great pleasure. And the questions were very good. And also thank you for the guests. It was very interesting to discuss with you guys. And looking forward for the next one.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Likewise. Thank you all very much.
Awesome.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, G and Michael.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
Ferrum Network is a pioneer in ushering in the era of interoperability 2.0. Ferrum Network's mainnet nodes and related infrastructure will bring value, data, and functional interoperability to every chain in the industry. Ferrum also specializes as a multi-chain blockchain as a service DeFi company, adding deflationary mechanisms, token utility, and advisory services to projects across the crypto space.